People of God, would you please turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, I'm going to read from verse 11 to the end of the chapter, verse 22. If you're using the black pew Bible there in front of you or underneath you, if you're in the front or back rows, this is on page 572. 572, it'll also be on the screen here for us, 572. Isaiah chapter 8, beginning at verse 11. When you get there, if you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? If you're able at home too, we encourage you to stand with us. Reminder that you're not worshiping in isolation, but really with a people, even though we're separated by distance. So encourage you to stand with us. Page 572, Isaiah 8, beginning at verse 11. This is the word of the Lord. For the Lord spoke thus to me with his strong hand upon me and warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear, let him be your dread. And he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap, a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony. Seal the teaching among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are signs and portents in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. And when they say to you, inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living? To the teaching, to the testimony. They will not speak according to this word. It is because they have no dawn. They will pass through the land greatly distressed and hungry. When they're hungry, they'll be enraged and will speak contemptuously against their king and their God and turn their faces upward. And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish. And they will be thrust into thick darkness. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray and give thanks now to him for it. Indeed, Father, we do thank you for your word and that you're pleased to speak to us through it. And so would the light of your word by your spirit shine in our hearts this morning. Would you open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to understand. Cause us, Father, here in your word to know you more, that we might love you better, so that we might love others like you have loved us. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? Well, this year, in these weeks leading up to Christmas, the season that we call Advent, we're looking at three chapters in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 7, 8, and 9. And here's the situation of the people in Judah. So remember, first, the people of Israel have been split into two countries at this time after Solomon's death, the rebellion in the land, countries divided in two. You have the northern kingdom of Israel, sometimes called Ephraim. You have the southern kingdom of Judah. And some of the neighboring countries, we're talking about Judah right now, the southern kingdom, some of the neighboring countries are threatening to invade Judah. In fact, they had invaded Judah already. They suffered some defeats, those other countries, and now they're threatening to invade again. And on top of all of this, the ruling empire of the time, the Assyrian Empire, they're scary, they're violent, their reputation is of these heinous things that they do to their conquered people. They're constantly a threat to come in and retaliate against any even appearance of rebellion or insubordination. And so the people of Judah are afraid. Isaiah chapter 7 tells us that they're shaking like trees are shook by the wind. They're afraid. And it's in the midst of this fear that the word of the Lord comes to the prophet Isaiah. And not just to Isaiah, but our text makes clear this word, it's also for Isaiah's disciples. And I think Isaiah and his disciples here together, they represent the faithful people of God, the true people of God, the people who believe in and trust in God. And this word then comes to them and comes to us. And that word is this: don't fear what the world fears. Don't be anxious about the things that the world is anxious about. Don't fear what the world fears. But we do, don't we? We're an anxious and fearful people. Isn't that true? We easily get caught up in the fears and anxieties of the world around us. I mean, just as we get ready to jump into this text, let me ask you a couple questions this morning, friend. What are you anxious about today? Maybe for you it's politics and elections, right? Do you fear for our country? Are you anxious about who's running for office or what changes are happening in the world around us? Or maybe for you it's your job, right? Do you worry about job security or about your ability to retire or about your benefits, pay, anything like that? Or how about your finances? State of the stock market is a fun watch right now, isn't it? Especially for those of you on retirement accounts, the bills that you have to pay, the vacations you want to take, all the stuff you want to buy. How about your family? Do you worry about your kids? Whether they're adult kids or at home still, worry about their safety, worry about their faith, anxious about their decisions, about your aging parents. Do you worry about them? What do you have coming up in the next week, the next month, the next year that has you anxious or afraid? You know, people in our text this morning, actually, they're afraid of a lot of the same things. I mean, sure, their situation's different, right? They have these invading armies that they're facing, but they're going through a lot of the same fears. They just went through a major government change. One king died, another king took his place, and then another king stole his throne on top of that. And then you got these wars on the borders, threat of invasion, threat of oppression, threat of imprisonment. I mean, these are people who are worried about how they're going to eat, anxious about the future for their kids, anxious about the future of their country, about the state of the world, about their own future. The people of our text, the people of our world today, we're an anxious and fearful people, aren't we? And it's to us that this text comes this morning. Fear God, not man. Fear God, not man. Fear the Lord. Don't walk in the fears and anxieties of the world around you. Fear God and not man. And that's the focus of our text and the message this morning. How do we fear the Lord instead of walking in all the fears and anxieties of the world around us? Well, we do that by honoring the Lord, by seeking the Lord, and by waiting for the Lord. These are our points this morning. How do we fear the Lord instead of walking in the fears and anxieties of the world around us? We do that by honoring the Lord, seeking the Lord, and waiting for the Lord. Let's begin this morning with honor the Lord. People of Judah are afraid. Text says in Isaiah 7, they're shaking with fear. And they're caught up in all these conversations of the world around them, right? Caught up in the anxieties and the fears of their neighbors and the people they encounter in the marketplace. And then here's what the Lord says to Isaiah, says this to us: don't be afraid, don't fear what they fear. Instead, fear the Lord. And this is in verse 13, I'm in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13. Fear the Lord and honor the Lord as holy. Do you see that there? Verse 13, the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Now remember this word, holy, it simply means other, right? The Lord God Almighty, he's not like us, right? He's other than us, he's beyond us, he's above us, he's holy. And the word here for the reader of the book of Isaiah, it should call to mind, if you were to just read Isaiah chapter 1 straight through to Isaiah chapter 8, it would bring to mind just two chapters earlier in Isaiah 6 when Isaiah got that vision of the eternal throne room of God, and he saw all those angelic creatures crying out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." This is a reminder of that vision. It's meant to impress upon us the holiness of God. And so to honor the Lord as holy is to remember he's other than us, he's above us, beyond us, not like us. To honor the Lord as holy is to remember the splendor and majesty of chapter 6, the Lord seated on his throne, the train of his robe filling the temple, the heavenly host crying out. To honor the Lord as holy is to remember God alone is perfect in moral purity. He always does what is right. He always does what is perfect. He always does what is good. To honor the Lord as holy is to remember he sits enthroned above all of creation. The Lord God Almighty alone is sovereign. He alone controls the universe. He alone governs and preserves all his creatures and all their actions. And notice how God describes himself in verse 13. He is the Lord of hosts. This Lord of angel armies or heavenly armies, it's a reference to God's power, to God's strength, to God's sovereign rule over all things. And when we put that in the situation, remember, here are the Israelite people, the people of Judah, they're afraid of all these neighboring nations threatening to invade. They're afraid of that Assyrian Empire threatening to always come in and punish. They're afraid of all these humans and their human armies and their human planning. And God there reminds them, I rule the nations. I command the armies of angelic beings who are mightier than any human army. I direct history. Fear God, not man. That's his reference to the Lord of hosts here. To honor the Lord as holy is to remember he sits enthroned above all of creation, commanding the supernatural armies of angels, directing history wherever it is that he wants it to go. The text is asking us, why are you afraid of these little things, people of God? Why are you afraid of neighboring nations and these small armies? Why are you afraid of empires and coalitions and conspiracies? Why are you afraid of election results and propaganda and the rhetoric of personalities? Why do you worry about stock markets and tax bills? Why do you fear for your kids, your parents, your future? The Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies, the only one perfect in morality, perfect in power, perfect in rule, honor him as holy and fear God, not man. And look what the Lord says to Isaiah in verse 14. For those who honor the Lord as holy, the Lord will be their sanctuary. This word sanctuary here refers to that place of worship for God's people, that place where God, by his Spirit, came and dwelt among his people, that place which if you read the descriptions of the tent of meeting and then later the temple which replaced it was to image the very Garden of Eden itself, this place where God and humanity are reunited in perfect relationship and peace. It's that place, that sanctuary, that meeting with God from which all other peace flows, the flourishing and prospering of humanity. It flows out of this sanctuary, this reconciliation between God and humanity. And those who honor the Lord as holy, they know intimacy and reconciliation with that same holy God of angel armies. And it's those people who know that peace that flows out of such intimacy and reconciliation. And I think this is really cool. When we read our Bibles all together, the Apostle Peter, so this is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, after Jesus ascends back into heaven, as the apostles of Jesus go out and the church of Jesus, the followers of Jesus, are growing together in relationship, but they're also being persecuted, right? They're suffering incredible hardship simply because they profess faith in Jesus. And so the Apostle Peter, he sits down and he writes a letter to the followers of Jesus. This is in the New Testament. It's in the first letter called 1 Peter. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3. I just want to read it to you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. The Apostle Peter says this to suffering Christians. Even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you'll be blessed. Have no fear of them. Maybe there's an echo there of Isaiah 8, right? Don't fear what they fear. But keep listening. Peter continues. He says this, have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy. Did you hear it? The Apostle Peter here, he's calling Jesus the Lord of hosts from Isaiah 8. He's reminding Christians, reminding us that when we trust in Jesus, when we honor Jesus as that same Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies, by honoring Jesus as holy, we find sanctuary in him. We find that intimacy and reconciliation, that peace that comes only from Jesus Christ. Fear God, not man, by honoring the Lord as holy, acknowledging he alone is morally and perfect. He always does what is right and good, acknowledging he alone has perfect power, and he rules all of the nations, guides history toward his intended ends, acknowledging he alone provides lasting peace and the flourishing of humanity. Don't walk in the fears and anxieties of this world, but fear the Lord by honoring the Lord as holy. And knowing the Lord, you know, honoring the Lord, fearing the Lord, it means turning to him when we're afraid. It means seeking him when we're anxious. It means running to the Lord in hard times. Let's look at that next. Seek the Lord. Honor the Lord. Seek the Lord. We're going to look now at verse 19 in this next paragraph in Isaiah chapter 8. And in verse 19, we see what the world does when the world is afraid, right? When anxiety and fear plague the people around us, they go seeking for ways to alleviate or to assuage those fears, right? So in the time of Isaiah, this looked like this. You see this in the verses beginning of verse 19. They go to the necromancers and the mediums, right? These are the ancient world horoscopes and astrologers, the palm readers and the witch doctors, the seances and the Ouija boards. Right? The people were so scared that they go looking for answers, right? They're just looking for someone to give them some word of good news, someone who will give them hope, help, comfort. It's really no different today, right? And sure, people still run to horoscopes and astrologers, or maybe they find prosperity preachers, or they turn to the Dr. Phils and Oprahs of the world, anything to give us hope, health, answers. I mean, even everyday things, right? When we're anxious or afraid, sometimes we try to drown those fears with distractions, don't we? Maybe it's eating and drinking, or it's binge watching or shopping. Some of us even try to just sleep our problems away. We often try to drown our pain by seeking out distractions. Others of us, we try to manage it, right? We try to grab control. We're scared, anxious, we're afraid. We try to grab control of the things or the people in our lives to try to make them assuage our fears. And this can look like all kinds of different things, right? Some of us micromanage projects or micromanage the people in our lives, our relationships. I'm talking here about snow plows and helicopter parenting. Or how about the incessant apologizer. I can be one of those, afraid of anyone not liking me, so running around constantly trying to make sure that no one's ever offended. Will you like me? Will you like me? Ooh, I hope I didn't hurt your feelings, right? Doing everything we can to manage and make sure we're on everyone's good side. It's another way of dealing with anxiety, fear. But the Lord tells his people in Isaiah chapter 8, don't walk in the ways of this people. Don't walk in the fears and anxieties of all those people around you. Don't respond to your fears and anxieties like the people around you respond. Instead, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. That's what the Lord says in verse 19. Shouldn't my people inquire of their God instead? Shouldn't my people turn to the Lord and seek Him instead of all these smaller, weaker sources of help? We belong to the Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies. Shouldn't we seek Him when we're anxious and afraid? You say, well, Pastor, how do we seek Him? We seek Him through His Word, don't we? That's what verse 16 says in our text, Isaiah 8, verse 16. Bind up the testimony, seal the teaching among my disciples. It's just really a cool text in Isaiah 8 this morning, because this is one of the few places in the Bible where we get a glimpse of God's Word, the Scriptures, actually being formed. Because this is here, right in front of us, we see the process of the Bible becoming the Bible. The prophet Isaiah is to take these messages of God that God has given to him and that he's spoken or written. He's to write them down. He's to bind them up as a book. He's to authenticate them and commit them to his disciples for their preservation as the authentic word of God. Bind them and seal them, among my disciples. This is the means by which we seek the Lord. We consult his word. Verse 20 says, to the teaching and to the testimony. Speak only according to this word, he says. That's what's true of those who do have the dawn, the light of Christ shining in them. The word, the Bible, the word of God, it's our only rule for faith and practice. It's the very word of God to us for our direction, for our help, for our hope, for our trust in this dark world. When you're afraid, when you're anxious, only these words provide true and lasting comfort. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. And really incredibly, the Lord reminds us as we seek Him that He Himself, the Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies, He Himself dwells within us. We don't have to go far to find Him. He's not hiding from us. He's not playing games with us. He's close by. He's near. Because he dwells in his people. That's right here, verse 18. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18, the Lord of hosts dwells on Mount Zion. This is, again, a reference to the sanctuary, to the temple of the Lord, where God dwelt by his Spirit in the midst of his people, Israel. And it was shown to Israel, it was proclaimed to Israel in an image of this cloud and fire that descend on the temple after it's built. It's a reminder to the people of God that God himself was in the midst of his people. Right, that supernatural experience of fire and smoke filling the temple was this message from God that God himself dwells in your midst. Now, after the resurrection of Jesus, and after Jesus ascends into heaven, he sends his Holy Spirit down among his disciples. It takes place on the day of Pentecost. You can read this in Acts chapter 1 and in 2. And I think part of the reason that the Holy Spirit shows up there in Acts chapter 1 and 2 as an image of tongues of fire is that it's an image from the Old Testament. It's an Old Testament image. That fire and smoke of the temple coming down to dwell, not in a physical temple anymore, but in each one of God's people. It's an image designed to teach us that the very Spirit of God himself dwells in you. So seek the Lord. We need not go far. He's not hiding. He's not playing games. He's in us. He's with us. And he speaks to us by his Spirit and by that word. And people of God, when you're anxious, when you're afraid, why would you run to the chirpings and mutterings of the necromancers? Why seek distraction? Why try to bury it? Why even turn to our own failed attempts to control the world around us? None of it works, does it? I mean, think about all the things you do when you're hurting or afraid. Does it really make it better? The pain doesn't go away. The anxiety doesn't disappear. So why do we keep seeking the same empty answers? Seek the Lord. Fear God, not man. And when you're afraid, when you're anxious, seek the Lord. He's in you. He's near you by his Spirit, and he speaks to us by that Spirit and by his Word. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. So easy to get caught up in the fears and anxieties of the world around us. But that's why this word comes to the prophet and through the prophet to us. It's a reminder that when we're afraid, when the world's afraid, when the world's anxious. Instead of getting caught up in that, we need to wait for the Lord. That's last this morning. Let's look at that. Verse 12 of our text, right at the beginning. Do not call conspiracy what the world calls conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. Don't be in dread. And remember what's happening at the time of our text. Several of the neighboring nations are joining together and they're planning to invade Judah. The Assyrian Empire, always looming large, threatening and scary. And the king of Ahaz, everybody would know this, the king of Ahaz, he's been going around the city, he's been inspecting the waterworks, he's been inspecting the army, he's inspecting the city, getting ready. And I want you to just imagine for a moment, put yourself in the city there. What would the news channels be like then? Imagine what the social media posts would be like. What's happening on Twitter during all this Ahaz invasion business? In the hallways, at school, or at work, what are the conversations like? Around the dinner table, when you get together with a friend for coffee, and it's not long before all the emotion starts to really elevate, doesn't it? I mean, people start taking sides. Somebody says, we should go and see if Assyria will help us. Somebody says, no, are you out of your minds? Do you know what Assyria is like? We should trust in this coalition instead. And then there's angers, there's lines being drawn. People start to call names of each other. Families are divided. We've seen that in our own country, haven't we? I'm reminded as I read this in Isaiah chapter 8, the world is so full of anxiety and fear. And it's so easy. It's really, really easy to get caught up in all that emotion, to get sucked into the conversations and the anxiety and the worrying. Friends, this is exactly what God's people are called not to do. Verse 12, don't get caught up in all the fear and anxiety and worrying of the world around you. Don't get sucked into all the chatter and arguments of all that's going on. I think we have to ask ourselves, look, this is painful for me too. How many heated arguments have you had about a president or a candidate or a mask or a vaccine? How many times when, even maybe right now when I name those things, do you find your blood pressure going up a little bit? Hackles raising, temper boiling, all because of a news story. Or some comment that you overheard in a hallway, or that somebody posted online, or a family member, someone in the community said. I mean, how much time do you spend reading the political pundits and op-eds and blog posts? All we're doing there is we're filling our hearts and minds with the anxieties and conversations and worries of the world around us. How much time have we wasted? How much emotional energy have we expended? Don't walk in the ways and fears and anxieties of the world around you. Fear God, not man, and wait on the Lord. Wait instead of worry. But a caution, don't go the opposite extreme either. Apathy is not waiting on the Lord either. That's the other extreme, isn't it? One extreme is to be so busy and consumed with all the concerns and conversations of the world around us. The other extreme is, I just don't care at all. Bury your head in the sand or ignore it or just like, I'm just not going to bother with it. We're not called to do that either. We are in the world. We're called to seek the welfare of the city and the world around us. We're called to pray for the world and to labor for God's wise, loving, and just rule in all things around us. Apathy is not waiting on the Lord either. So what is? What does it mean to wait for the Lord? Well, look at verse 17. Here where we'll see this. Verse 17, Isaiah says, I will wait for the Lord who's hiding his face from the house of Jacob. And now he's going to describe what it means to wait on the Lord. The prophet says this, I will wait for the Lord. What's he say next? And I will hope in him. I will hope in him. This term waiting for the Lord, it's not like we think of waiting, right? I think we think of waiting, we think of standing in line or waiting at a traffic light. That's not waiting. Waiting for a train, we're in Muncie after all. Waiting for the Lord is not passive. Waiting for the Lord in the Bible is not inactive, it's active, right? Waiting for the Lord means hoping in the Lord. It's another way in the Bible. It's a Bible speak for trusting, right? It's to believe God really is there. It's to believe God really is powerful. It's to believe God really is working. It's to believe God really is good. Waiting for the Lord means trusting that He will work out His plan to make the world new and whole and right again. And waiting for the Lord means trusting that in whatever situation you find yourself, it means honoring the Lord as the one true and living God, the Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies, the one true ruler and sovereign over all things. It means seeking this God, turning to Him in prayer, crying out to Him for help, seeking His ways and His word, longing to know Him more and better. And it means trusting He will indeed work all things together for our salvation. Directing history, directing elections, directing diseases, directing even your school, your job, your sports, your retirement, your health, your relationships, directing all of these for His glory and for your good. Putting our hope in His ways and in His power, that's trusting the Lord. That's waiting for the Lord. That's hoping in the Lord. Fear God, not man. Wait for the Lord. Put your hope, your trust in Him alone. Because you see, friends, this world, it's so full of anxiety and fear. And it's so easy to get sucked into all that fear and anxiety. I do. I know that many of you do too. It's easy to get caught up in the worry and conversations of the world around us. It's easy to feel that same worry, that same fear, that same anxiety. But we belong to the Lord of hosts. We belong to the God of angel armies, the sovereign of the universe who governs and preserves all His creatures and all their actions. Fear God and not man. By honoring the Lord as holy, by seeking the Lord who's near you, who's in you, and who speaks to us by His word and by His spirit, honor the Lord, seek the Lord, and wait for the Lord. Will you pray with me? So, Father, as we hear You and Your word, I am an anxious person, as many here know, easily caught up in my own anxiety or fears or insecurities, and I name those again, and seek to put them to death in me again, and to instead honor You as holy, instead to seek You when I'm anxious, afraid, even insecure, to wait for You, to trust in You, to hope in You. And so as I come to Your table and need Your grace to feed my faith, and each of us here, Father, wherever we're anxious or afraid, whatever worries You have brought to our minds, would You help us to lay them at Your feet, to bury them in the tomb of Jesus, and to receive Your life-giving peace. Give us grace, Father, for we come believing and asking in Jesus' name. Amen.